5 years have passed since a small earthquake occurred near Washington. It took several years to get just the Washington Monument fixed. But hundreds of federally owned or leased office buildings are in areas throughout the country with a high potential for serious earthquakes. Yet the government hasn't completed a comprehensive warning system, and many locations haven't done much to mitigate the risk. That needs to change, according to the Government Accountability Office. Joining me with more, Chris Curry, Director of Homeland Security and Justice Issues. Chris, good to have you back.
Oh, thanks very much for having me.
What prompted this look at earthquakes, of all things?
We were requested by several folks in Congress to look at what the federal government has done to mitigate its own buildings against earthquakes, and also to look at the progress it's been making on the West Coast of developing an earthquake early warning system.
Because there are shake alerts and there have been resiliency plans developed by the government for local communities. It sounds like the government itself is not taking care of its own.
That's exactly right. I mean, GSA and DOD are the main agencies we've looked at. They own more than half of all federal buildings. And the federal government owns about 250,000 buildings across the country. And what we found is about 40% of those, almost 100,000, are located in areas that could experience very strong to extreme shaking. And there's about 405,000 federal employees that are assigned to work in those areas. So it's very, very important that the federal government look at its own buildings to see to what extent they're ready for a potential earthquake.
I guess my question is, when these buildings were constructed, a lot of them are not as old as the ones in Washington. Don't most locales, say if you're in a leased building in San Francisco, have plans and mitigation and design for earthquake from the outset?
Well, in many of these cases, in many cities, the federal government is not required to take the same actions that, say, the city government buildings would have to do or the state government buildings. They're under their own requirements. So in some cases, the federal buildings are up to the local code and are able to withstand some earthquakes. But as you said, some of these buildings are older and have not been upgraded and retrofitted to withstand earthquakes. One of the things that we found is, obviously, the expense of retrofitting buildings to withstand an earthquake can be very, very high. But it's not just structural retrofits that you can do. There are many low-cost options that you can take to actually prevent and help against earthquakes. For example, you can strap bookcases and shelves to walls so they don't fall over in the case of an earthquake, too. So it's not just about structural retrofitting.
And I'm looking at the map that GAO has published, too, and I think some people might be surprised that it's not just San Francisco, but the entire West Coast, basically. In fact, the entire western part of the country is really vulnerable, the whole two time zones worth. And also the area centered around Memphis, Tennessee, and extending out to a big part of the Midwest. And then there's some coastal areas on the east. This is not something that's just a West Coast issue.
Absolutely. I mean, when folks tend to think about earthquakes, they automatically think about California and the United States. But you're right. I mean, there are risks up and down the West Coast. And the Northwest is another one that folks don't always think about when they think about earthquakes, the Seattle area. But you said it, the New Madrid Fault that runs right up the middle of the country that affects Memphis and other towns along the Mississippi River. On our map, also the risk around the Savannah area in Georgia is pretty high. So that's actually one of the challenges with preparing for earthquakes, is that they just don't happen very often. In some cases, 50 to 100 years can pass in between large quakes, which makes it very, very difficult to get folks' attention when you're trying to invest in mitigation and get them to prepare for earthquakes.
And what about the federal executive boards that exist in the larger cities like L.A. and San Francisco? Could they have a role in all of this?
Yes, they would have a role in this. And I think one of the roles would be to communicate with federal employees in the case of an earthquake. And I think they could also be involved in helping to do some of the preparedness drilling and providing some of the guidance and instructions for federal employees. But actually, when it comes down to mitigating buildings themselves, though, the federal agencies that own the buildings really have total control over what they do to their buildings and working with GSA to do that. So one of the things that we recommended is, first, DOD and GSA and other federal agencies, they need to really go in and identify their high-risk buildings and then figure out what actions they can take to mitigate against them.
We're speaking with Chris Curry, Director of Homeland Security and Justice Issues at the GAO. And what about this shake alert system that is incomplete? I think of shake alert as something that happens with the kids when you drive by Dairy Queen, but this is something else.
Yeah, so shake alert is the name that's been given to the earthquake early warning system in the United States. And the U.S. Geological Survey, the federal agency, manages this, this system on the West Coast. It's an interesting program. It's not completely a federal program. It's actually partially managed and funded by the three West Coast states and also a consortium of universities. So it's kind of a cobbled together program. And that's actually one of the things that we looked at in the program is the governance structure and who owns this system, who's ultimately responsible for implementing it and funding it is one of the big challenges. But it's an interesting system. We found that the science of the system actually works really well. In an earthquake, when the quake actually occurs, certain waves are emitted from the epicenter that you don't feel at first and can be picked up by seismometers. And the strong waves that follow, the shaking waves we call them, don't come till a little bit later. So this system actually allows you to detect an earthquake before it occurs. But unlike hurricanes, we're not talking about days of warnings. We're talking about, you know, anywhere from 30 seconds to a minute and a half of warning. So it gives you time to take very, very quick action.
And where it exists, how does the warning system work? Does it send text alerts to people?
Well, that's one of the challenges as well. So the seismometers and the system itself can detect the earthquake, but right now that system is not integrated into public alerting. As you said, for example, it's not sending signals to cell phones yet. And that's one of the big challenges that we identify that still needs to be addressed, which is how is the public going to be actually alerted and warned? We actually talked to folks in Japan. Japan's earthquake early warning system is about a decade ahead of ours and is fully operational now. And folks in Japan told us that that was one of the biggest challenges of the system is actually figuring out how do you get the information as quick as you need to get it to people's hands. And then the other important part of that is how do you train the public so they know what to do with those warnings?
And getting back to the issue of DOD and the federal agencies identifying their buildings, that seems like a fairly simple matter. If your building is in this zone, then you need to do something about it. So is it really the challenge identifying the building or having a mitigation plan for should something occur?
Well, actually, it's not as easy as it sounds because you're absolutely right. It's very easy to go and find what buildings you own or lease that could be in high-risk areas, for example, in Los Angeles or near the San Andreas Fault or something like that. The challenge comes with the building itself. Not all buildings are the same just because they're in the same zone. A building has a different level of ability to withstand an earthquake depending on how it was built, when it was built. For example, unreinforced masonry buildings that were built, you know, in the 1950s or earlier are extremely susceptible to earthquakes and are much more likely to crumble or be destroyed in an earthquake, whereas those built in the last 5 to 10 years under modern building codes are probably going to withstand an earthquake pretty well. So actually going in and defining what the risk is to each building is the challenge because, you know, each building has its own unique structure and specifications.
Any reaction to the recommendations at this point?
Absolutely. All the agencies, DOD and GSA, completely agreed with our recommendations. And GSA has actually already started, during our review, they started an effort to begin defining what actually they would constitute as an exceptionally high-risk building. Also, the National Institute of Standards and Technology is working on a government-wide definition of exceptionally high-risk buildings. And part of this is to implement an executive order that the president issued this past February to set up a federal earthquake risk management standard. So during our review, there was a lot of progress in this area and a lot of efforts to try to move ahead on this.
Chris Curry is Director of Homeland Security and Justice Issues at the GAO. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
You can read more and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.